Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Hey, guess what? It's us again, The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Alex Ben Block is back with us today. Alex is a contributing editor of The Hollywood Reporter. He's an entertainment industry journalist, author, broadcaster, show business historian, and a heck of a nice guy. So we'll have Alex on the show today. To talk about and be brought up to date with just about everything in the entertainment industry. We also have here momentarily Shameen Abbas, our activist for excellence, developing thought leadership plans is what she's talking about today. And Jean Bliss a little bit later on in this hour with her the customer experience, the Container Store. She'll talk about that. That is from her brand new book, which will be out in mid-October. I Love You More Than My Dog, Five Decisions That Drive Extreme Customer Loyalty in Good Times and in Bad. So that'll be nice to, you know, maybe an early Christmas present or something like that for you. So Jean Bliss and along with Shameen and, of course, Alex Ben Block should be a great show today, as they always are. This past week, the big news in L.A. and around L.A. has been the fires. The Mount Wilson, the observatory up there. Not to mention, 18 FM antennas and more than a dozen television antennas, as well as the century old, as we said, Mount Wilson Observatory. The goal, earlier this week, they had, to burn up the small brush that spread the fires and may cause a bigger threat on that peak. And, my goodness, incredible to see all the devastation out there and how quickly that stuff spreads. So hopefully things are cooling off in L.A. Good thing. What do you have?
On a more positive note, Ray, and by the way, if you're listening to this sometime in the next week or two, let us know how that fire worked out, would you?
Yeah, really?
As that's still being
probably went out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oprah Winfrey, and only Oprah Winfrey, Ray, could shut down part of Chicago's Michigan Avenue to tape the 24th season opener of her talk show. 15 bus routes will be diverted. Winfrey's Harpo Productions apparently will reimburse the city for related cost. And just to let you know,
is that just because the Jackson family didn't reimburse L.A.? At least nothing that we know about yet, right?
Just to let you know, we got Black Eyed Peas scheduled as the opener there,
which
I think is an interesting idea that they're going to have them play live outdoors like that. But I also immediately thought, wait a minute, aren't you, Oprah, stealing an idea from the Today Show and Good Morning America, having a live concert out there?
Let me think about that. Well, not only the Today Show, but CBS does it as well.
Well, it started Today Show, then GMA stole it from Today, and now CBS this morning does it, and now Oprah's in on the act. So I don't know. Was there any original ideas left, Ray?
Yeah, there are. We just won't let those go because we really want to keep them for ourselves, okay? Developing thought leadership content. What's that all about? Shameen Abbas has the answer here on The Advertising Show.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shameen Abbas.
Your clients and your agency can exercise thought leadership rather than simple advertising or product promotion. White papers, blog columns, and webinars bolster a company's positive online reputation by setting it apart in the marketplace of ideas. Thought leadership content brands a company or its executives as experts and a trusted resource. This requires thinking like your buyers instead of an employee. The content you create will provide solutions to those people's issues and will not make mention of your company or products at all. One of our clients represents Tire Kingdom, a discount tire and automotive service company. Rather than simply attempting to sell tires, the agency could shoot an educational video about how to drive in the heavy rains of South Florida or to drive defensively in the famously awful South Florida highway traffic. The client could promote the video on its site, then offer it free to automotive clubs, driver's ed schools, and community policing departments to put on their websites. Another client is an author and naturopathic doctor. Yes, we want to sell books, but we're also in the process of producing a series of educational videos and webinars on how to change your diet, how to meditate, and how to handle stress better. And then we'll post them to his blog and his website, and then offer them to other outlets such as health food stores, booksellers, and like-minded medical practitioners to use on their own websites. This is thought leadership, and it can be an ongoing and relatively easy to produce vehicle for setting your client forward as being more than someone wishing to sell something. You create a client interested in thought leadership and the well-being of its consumer community, and those consumers are more likely to think of your client when they're in need of those services or products.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks much. Shamin Abbas here at the Advertising Show. A little bit later on, the Container Store. Well, Gene Bliss will tell us all about that and what a cool place that is. And, of course, our award-winning entertainment industry journalist, co-editor of Blockbusting, The Business of Filmmaking, a decade-by-decade survey showcasing blockbuster movies being published by Harper Books and George Lucas Books, tentatively set for early 2010, so we'll hope to have that out by Alex. But always a fun time to have him on the Advertising Show. We need to remember this date in history. It says here, it's kind of cool, August 28th, 2009. Obviously that's already come and gone, but that was the first radio commercial to air. Okay. In 1922, there were just 30 radio stations in the United States and receivers were about 60,000 households. And still on August 28th of that year, 1922, the U.S. Census Bureau notes the first radio commercial was broadcast. The spot on WEAF in New York advertised a group of apartment buildings in Queens, and the advertiser paid $100 for 10 minutes of airtime. So
that was probably expensive back in those days.
Sure. The
world's first infomercial, 10 minutes.
Something like that. Isn't that funny? So 1922, August 28th, 1922 was the very first radio commercial advertising apartment buildings in Queens, and they paid $100 for the 10 spots.
Well, you know, it's there were 10 spots, so I see.
Well, No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. 10 minutes of airtime. So it was a bit of a short infomercial type thing, yes.
Huh. You know, it's interesting.
And Billy Mays was on that one, as a matter of fact, too. Did you know that, Brad? Billy Mays here for apartment buildings in Queens.
The cokehead Billy Mays.
Yeah, but I don't want to remember him like that. You know what?
Well, I mean, they did an autopsy and they found the guy was snorting coke.
I know.
The way it is.
I still love Billy Mays. God rest his soul. I'm sorry that he did that, but doggone, he was a fun guy to watch, and his show on the Pitchmen show with him and that Anthony Sullivan guy, that was a great show too as well.
Well, and you know, at least he did it himself and didn't have a doctor administer it.
Yeah, really. And as far as we can tell, no plastic surgery.
He had an interesting color of hair. It seemed to me that it may not have been his own.
You mean black?
Extremely black.
Black? Yeah, really. No kidding. That's funny. So anyway, I guess we're off on a tangent here. And basically,
yeah, I guess we are.
We're actually wandering in Never Never Land, which is, I think Michael owned that one as well, too. But we've got.
Go back to your radio commercial, 10 minutes. Isn't it interesting we've gone from 10-minute radio commercials being the very first one and, you know, decades ago to now you have the 2-second and 3-second.
The blink.
Spots.
Yeah, exactly. Less is more. Or maybe not, according to some folks in a large, very company, big company, radio company. We've got Alex Ben Block with us coming up next. Stay with us here at the Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
No need to go into complete details. All we have to say is Alex Van Vlock is back with us here on the Advertising Show. Although, if you'd like to read more about his bio and his background, call me. I'll read it to you one day, okay? There you go, Alex. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, direct from the Hollywood Reporter. Alex, wrap up for us, if you would, the summer movie season. I know there were some huge losers out there, some big winners, and, of course, the always present these days 3D movie.
Well, let's start with the good news. Even before the summer ended, it's already a record box office. Last year, the record of $4.16 billion for the summer 2007 has already been smashed, even as we go into the Labor Day weekend and beyond. So it's an all-time record-setting summer. Not for everybody, not great, but for many of the big studios, really good news. The top performers in the United States market this year were Paramount's Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, did just shy of $400 million at the domestic box office. Warner Brothers is celebrating the latest Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, did about $295 million. And Disney and Pixar's Up, a really unusual movie about an old man and a young boy that nobody was sure would work, worked big time, did about $290 million at the box office. And the big surprise of the summer was a picture called The Hangover, a kind of offbeat R-rated comedy, becomes basically the highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time, with about $270 million in ticket sales. Also, the audiences fell in love with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds in The Proposal. They did about $160 million.
Wow.
So there were some other winners. Star Trek for Paramount did about $257 million. And X-Men Origins Wolverine grossed about $180 million. Fox did very well with Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. You know, it did about $194 million in the U.S., but it did over $600 million overseas, where the family comedy shown in 3D as well as 2D really just blew them away. Not as big a success, but still pretty good, was the latest Night at the Museum movie called Battle of the Smithsonian. Did about $180 million, but that's actually a little less than people thought it would do. Sony's Angels and Demons, the sequel, also didn't quite do as well as they thought, but it did do $134 million. And G.I. Joe was up in the same neighborhood as well. The big loser this year, Universal Pictures, had a series of movies, including the sequel to Borat Bruno, which was kind of a disappointment, as was the Johnny Depp gangster movie and a number of others. Universal, after three record-breaking years, suffered at the box office this year. But for Paramount, and especially 20th Century Fox, that had a bad year last year, came back strong. The other thing is, that came out of the Depression at a time that, you know, movie prices were a lot cheaper. There was no television. There certainly was no home video. And so for a lot of people who are unemployed, actually getting a cassette, which you can rent for a dollar or two, and going home and putting the 12 kids in front of the TV is probably the cheapest thing you can do. But for a lot of unemployed people, I guess going to the movie theater is still a way to hide out and get some free air conditioning.
Yeah, let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the brothers Weinstein, the Weinstein Company, rumored to be in trouble. I think I saw an article a few weeks ago from the New York Times talking about they're rumored to be in huge financial trouble. However, Inglourious Bastards seems to be coming to the rescue. A little background for those that may not be familiar, Alex, about the Weinstein Company.
Of course, ran Miramax for many years, sold it to Disney, continued to run it, won Oscars and a lot of attention, and had a very high-profile run there. Finally, they could not agree on a new contract with Disney, and they left. They went out and they raised millions of dollars in financing to start their own company. It took them a while, but it's been kind of hit or miss ever since. And despite having borrowed hundreds of millions of dollars, not everything has worked. So finally, this fall, they actually had to push some releases off, cancel some movies, and they decided to put everything on Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino's movie, Inglourious Basterds. They put a huge marketing push behind it. I don't know where you live, but where I live, every billboard, every sign, everywhere I went that seemed to have a picture of Brad Pitt that said he was a bastard, which probably was not news to Angelina Jolie. But I went to see the movie, and I actually liked the movie a lot, unlike most of the critics in the United States. It was not well received by the critics. But CinemaScore, which does exit polling and rates the movies, a great system, gave it an A-minus overall and A-plus among its target audience of young males. And it's turned out to do well. It grossed about $37 million in its opening weekend. It only fell by about 50%, which is a very soft landing in its second week. And it continues to do well. And it looks like it's going to give a big boost to the Weinstein Company. They then opened through their Dimension label the movie Halloween, and that did okay, not as well as they had hoped. Ran into some problems with Final Destination, another horror movie the same weekend that kind of beat them at the box office. But upcoming, they have a movie called Nine, which is a big musical, lots of stars, coming out at Christmas, and that's the kind of movie Harvey Weinstein is famous for humping and pumping until it becomes a big Oscar favorite. So at least for the moment, the Weinsteins are back on track, and I'm sure that they'll be happy to keep telling the world how great they are. They're always good at hype. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, especially, you know, the Oscars are going to have 10 Best Picture nominees this coming year.
That's incredible. It's
part of the new system. And now they've changed the voting recently also, so that now you're actually, when you vote, you're going to have to list in order of your preference. So it's not just like, because there was a big fear that a movie with only 11% of the votes could actually be a Best Picture nominee. So they're doing a weighted system where it's probably going to have to be listed as number one, two, or three on the ballot by a lot of people in order to make the top 10. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Nine right in there because Harvey Weinstein knows how to weight it so it works for him.
That's good. Alex Ben Block is our special guest here at the Advertising Show. Alex is a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. We've got more with Alex coming up here in just a moment on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Back in The Advertising Show, our special guest, Alex Ben Block, contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, you were talking about the Oscars, and there was a time, I guess, when some movies held till late in the year to be a part of the next year competition, I guess, for Oscar. We've got a huge, huge movie coming out this year. Fox is putting it out. Tell us more about it, Alex.
Well, it's called Avatar. Now, you may remember James Cameron 10 years ago had a little movie called Titanic. It became the biggest grossing movie in the history of the world, won all the Oscars, and he got to stand up at the Oscars and say, "I'm king of the world," a memorable moment. Since then, he's made a bunch of documentaries. He's been involved with the development of 3D movies, from the equipment to the technology behind the scenes to the special effects. And now he's taken all of that and spent the last 4 years putting together this movie, Avatar, which it's science fiction, but drama. Now, I've seen about 25 minutes of it already in 3D, and I got to tell you, I am blown away. The technology is amazing. This is the next step in visuals in movies. This is just, it's awesome. The eyes, the characters, the whole CGI thing is just so good. It seems very, very real. And so this movie opens December 18th, and it's going to open real wide. We're talking about probably 2,500 3D locations, maybe another 4,000 2D locations, and that's just in the United States. And it'll open worldwide on that level all over the place. They already have done some unusual promotion for this. For instance, on August 21st, in IMAX theaters all over the country, they showed 16 minutes of footage from the movie, and they gave away the tickets over the Internet for free the day the tickets went online. In fact, in the minute the tickets went online, the entire system crashed because so many people wanted those tickets.
Wow.
And also on October 1st, Mattel is bringing out a line of very high-tech toys, about 18 or more different toys, and they have tags on them. And when you aim the tag at a camcorder plugged into your computer, it tells a whole story. And if you get the top-of-the-line toys and you aim two of them, a tag for each of them, they actually interact and it becomes a game, and you can play with them, and they'll do stuff to each other on the computer, on the screen, all off these tags. There's also three video games coming for the Wii system, for the PS3 system, and for the Microsoft Xbox system that are also very high-tech, very interesting. And it's going to be a huge push. Panasonic has made a multi-million dollar deal to advertise the movie as part of their push into 3D. They'll be coming out next year with a whole line of 3D TV sets. Sony has also announced 3D TV sets are coming.
Really?
And Avatar has really lit the flame on this whole thing. As much as 3D has been a success, Avatar is the one everybody is excited about. Cameron is a great storyteller. The technology is as exciting as the movie itself, really futuristic. And it's something really to look forward to at Christmas. And IMAX, which usually plays a movie about 5 weeks on the big screen, they have about 160 locations they play in the U.S., they've booked this movie from December 18th all the way through the end of February, the longest they've ever booked any movie, because they believe it's going to be that great and the demand is going to be that enormous. And it'll start with midnight screenings, it'll be breaking records, and it'll probably be an Oscar contender, certainly in the technology area, but maybe even for Best Picture. Maybe it's going to be number 9 out of those 10,
wow,
but I think it'll be on that list.
Well, I want to go, just having you heard now talk about it. Now, I know the fall festival launch, film festival launch is culminating here, or about to launch, I should say, which will culminate with the Oscars next year. I understand you'll also be attending the Emmys.
I am. I'm going to be in the what they call the deadline press room, writing the main story for the Hollywood Reporter from the Emmys this year. But let's go back to the festivals for a moment. You know, the first part of the year, they kind of dump the movies nobody thinks they're going to work. Some do, some don't. Occasionally you get a surprise. The summer is for the big popcorn movies. But come the fall, it's time for the serious movies, the important movies, the socially relevant movies. And a lot of these movies get their launch at the big film festivals around the world. Venice, for instance, is a very big festival. Toronto is used to be called the Festival of Festivals. It's a gigantic festival. But maybe the most interesting one this year is Telluride, which is takes place in a little town in Colorado. And unlike the others, they don't announce in advance what movies they're going to show. But they come up with very interesting movies. And 2 years ago, this is where Juno launched, the little movie that became a big Oscar contender.
Yeah.
Last year, it's where Slumdog Millionaire, that won the Oscar, launched the movie nobody saw coming. So people are very excited, and a lot of producers are now pushing to get their movies into Telluride just for that reason. And so there's a lot of excitement about these fall festivals and which movie will be big. One movie that's launching at both Toronto and Venice is Capitalism, A Love Story, Michael Moore's movie. The guy who did Sicko was his last picture, and of course, he's done a number of other big documentaries. This one is the story of the economic crisis in America, and he's launching it at these two festivals looking for publicity, which I'm sure he'll get.
Yeah.
So a lot of excitement about that. And then into the Emmys, the Emmys are probably going to be a good show, but I can tell you now the ratings are going to be a problem, because the Emmys are September 20th. They're going up against a big football game on NBC. It's going to be the New York Giants against the Dallas Cowboys, the opening officially of the new Cowboys Stadium. And NBC Football Night in America is just going to crush the Emmys again this year, and it's a real shame, because there's some really interesting stuff going on.
That is a shame. Alex Ben Block is with us here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings. The Brad Forsyth. Alex is contributing editor at Hollywood Reporter. We've got another segment to do, and come back in just a minute. You'll hear it.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
Happy to be back with you and our special guest today, a very special guest, Alex Van Vlock, a regular on The Advertising Show and contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you very much.
You know, when I heard just recently about Disney acquiring Marvel, I thought, now, wait a minute, is Mickey Mouse ending up in the magazine or does Spider-Man in a full-length animation film? What's going on there?
Well, all those things could happen. Who knows what the future is going to bring, but Disney has paid $4 billion to acquire Marvel and all of its famous properties like Spider-Man and Iron Man and Captain America, and everybody reads comic books know better than I do. There's literally thousands of these characters, hundreds of them that are quite famous and do quite well. A lot of these characters are already committed at other studios. Sony, for instance, has Spider-Man, and Paramount has Iron Man, but as those deals run out, Disney will inherit all of it. In the meanwhile, they'll collect whatever money those movies make from their competitors, which is an interesting situation to be in. But let's talk about why Disney did this deal. There's a story about Bob Iger. He's the CEO of Disney, really good guy, really smart guy. And they say that he was in Hong Kong, at Hong Kong Disneyland, and he was watching a big parade, and they had all the characters of Disney marching down the street. And he thought to himself, there's not one character in that lineup that the Disney company itself created in the last 10 years. That's unbelievable. And because of that, he went out and he bought Pixar. And he brought all those characters in-house, Toy Story and Up more recently and all the other great movies they've made. And now he's basically done the same thing, saying what's changed here is the marketplace, where parents used to take their kids to these younger-skewing Disney-type movies, the G-rated movies. Today, more and more, the parents and the kids are a little more sophisticated. They'd rather go to Spider-Man. They both look forward to Spider-Man, and Disney recognizes that, and they see that's where the market's gone, and that's where they have to go. And so they've acquired this company so they can continue to play to essentially the sweet spot in the youth market with these pictures that are more PG, skewed a little bit older, but bring in a wider audience, and that the parents really don't mind sitting through. And so in terms of the future, they've made a big bet on this, but probably a very smart bet. And it positions them very well in terms of the characters, because unlike Marvel itself, or even unlike Paramount with Iron Man, Disney has the capability to also do the merchandising and the licensing to take these characters and exploit them on multiple platforms in many different ways across many different businesses. And they do it better than anybody else, but you got to have the goods. And this gives them the characters. So even after Spider-Man plays Sony, it'll be Disney that'll be licensing those Spider-Man T-shirts that'll go be hot when that next movie comes out. And so, great deal for Disney. They paid a big price. But once again, Bob Iger has done what it takes to keep Disney at the top of the pack.
60 seconds or less. Yes, exactly. Go for it, Brett.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's such a genius move. A lot of people don't see the inside route, as you were describing. What really blew me away, Alex, is what you just said about how none of the Disney characters that were being featured had even been created in the last 10-plus years. So it just shows you the value of some of these iconic characters that can be created decades ago that still have value today.
Yeah, kind of like us, Ray and Brad, I think, is probably, and you, Alex, too.
Well, you know, look at even the Pixar characters are being recycled. Toy Story 1 and 2 have been redone in 3D.
Yeah.
They're coming out soon in a double feature. They're going to play for 2 weeks and essentially set up the home video re-release. And really what they're setting up is the coming of Toy Story 3, which is coming. John Lasseter, who runs Disney Animation, who came over from Pixar, is a true genius. And in fact, he's just been celebrated at the Venice Film Festival, maybe the first animator ever to be given the honorary Golden Lion. And they're showing these and other movies, including an old-fashioned traditional animated movie that's been made at Disney, and they're giving what they call master classes on animation to filmmakers while they're in Venice. And Lasseter has really raised the whole level of animation at Disney, and Iger is smart enough to let these guys loose, and for the Disney Corporation, it's been very good news.
Always a blast to have you here, Alex, and we know you've got to run. You've got your commitments this weekend, but thanks for being a part of the show today.
It's always a pleasure, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks. Back with more in just a moment here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Alex Ben Block, who is never at a loss for words, sometimes we are at a loss for questions because he answers them so well here at the Advertising Show. Thanks, Alex, as always, for being a part. We have Brendan Hodgson with us next week. Brendan is Senior VP for Digital Corporate and Public Affairs North America. It's Hill & Knowlton, the company. You've heard of them, right? Sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
That'll be next week here at the Advertising Show. Still to come here in just a few moments, we have... For your pleasure, it's, let's see, Jean Bliss, the Container Store. She'll tell us more about that. More marketers using social networking to reach customers. That's a good idea. Ford Motor has high hopes for Fiesta, a popular model, abroad launching in the U.S. next year. So how does it introduce the subcompact to us? A massive TV ad blitz on TV? In-house promotions at dealers? Nope. Ford tapped 100 top bloggers and gave them a Fiesta for 6 months. The catch? Once a month, they're required to upload a video on YouTube about the car, and they're encouraged to talk, no holds barred, about the Fiesta on their blogs, Facebook, and Twitter. Hello, Ford Motor Company. That was already done, if you might recall. I think it was Nissan, or was it Nissan? I think it was, something like that.
Remember.
Well, the guy lived in this car.
I was in favor.
And they carried it that far.
Yeah, it was Nissan. Right.
So, you know, it's nice that they're doing this kind of stuff. And you know, giving a person who can expound the virtues of a car, a free car, that's not necessarily new either. We did commercials for Ford years ago. They gave us like a Ford for like a couple of weeks to drive around, and we had to talk about it on the radio. But it's nice. In this particular case, they're blogging about the car. So let's hope that Ford continues to succeed and come back out of the depths that they're in, and hopefully this is a good plan. So social networking is a good way. What are you doing in the social network department? Before you say that, can we jump in here with Jean Bliss and talk about the Container Store?
I think she
would like that. So, I mean, she's standing out in the hall. I mean, come on in, Jean. It's Jean Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
The Container Store, which provides storage and organization solutions through an uber-friendly and helpful retail experience, is a privately held company. Over 3,000 employees work in 47 stores across the United States and in a distribution center and home office in Coppell, Texas. And every single one of them knows the company's detailed financials. A 30-page briefing, including the previous year's revenues, gross margins, cost of goods, payroll, and profit, is prepared in a hard copy presentation and given to each and every employee. By committing to create an environment of trust and nurturing its employees, the Container Store has successfully built a retail experience that compels their customers to come back. The Container Store's stable workforce, with only a 15% turnover rate, has employees that stand behind the store they love. Can you sustain the excitement of your company for customers in this manner by deciding to honor the intelligence of your employees? What actions can you take, or what policies can you remove, to show employees that you believe in them? Beloved companies, throw away the rule book. Can you?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Not only a great place to visit, but a great place to shop. And that, no, that's not a commercial here. It's Gene Bliss with Ray Shullins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Her new book is called I Love You More Than My Dog, and it's out in mid-October. Brad, what are you holding there?
Well, before I go on, let me just mention that Ray and I both get a preview of sneak preview of the book. We get an advance of the book, and it is a fantastic read. I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to Amazon, you know, sign up, check it out. And when it comes out in mid-October, we'll be telling you more about that as we get closer to the actual launch date, but mid-October, pick up a copy. It's a great read, and I'm not saying that just because Gene's a contributor to our show. We both were talking about it before today's show, and we like both Ray and I like the book and think it's well worth checking out.
Now, if you want to buy Brad's copy, it's $2,500. Okay,
it'll be on eBay later today.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to bid it up. It has a minimum of $500.
Right.
The U.S. Media regulators are apparently mulling tech fair for kids. Federal Communications Commission is looking to organize a tech expo to help kids navigate social media platforms and to help parents monitor where their kids are going online. News of the expo comes as the FCC begins to think about changes in kids' media habits. Now, back when you and I were young, you just took the Playboy magazine out behind the tool shed and enjoyed yourself. Now you can't do that so much because mom and dad looking over your shoulder there when you're looking at those sites that you're not supposed to be looking at.
Yeah, right.
Kids will be kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing
has
really changed.
It's harder to
be
a kid nowadays.
No, or more interesting to be a kid, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
In a virtual way. How very interesting. That's funny. That's good. Frito-Lay is hunting for a prime-time pigskin family. If you're the one, get her done. A new campaign for Frito-Lay in the National Football League is encouraging households to demonstrate their gridiron game day devotion and prove that they are, in fact, the NFL's most fanatical family. And the sponsoring brand's prepared to reward the enthusiasm with a trip for six to Miami to enjoy the Super Bowl from a VIP suite at the Dolphin Stadium, which is right down the street from North Perry Airport, where I used to fly. Okay, entrants can upload their original, unretouched photo to a microsite after registering with their email address, the NFL team of choice, and their favorite Frito-Lay snack. So, Brad, if you're interested, grab the family, get your video camera, and make it a good one there.
Well, I just opened a bag of Fritos as you were saying that. I would thought for sure you were going to throw some reverb underneath your voice and do the sports announcer voice on that.
If I had that, I would, but I don't.
Yeah.
So
no.
I'm sorry.
Monday!
We could go, I can add this in post.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do with that in post-production.
That's true.
But anyway, that's kind of a cool thing, and it'll be interesting and fun to see what the folks come up with in terms of you know, exactly what they're doing for Super Bowl. That would be a blast to win that contest, though. And speaking of Fritos, Frito Pie, if you're not from the Texas area, you probably know nothing about that. There's a place called James Coney Island that has the best Frito Pie in the world. Okay. And if you add jalapenos, it gets better. So, anyway. Hey, thanks again to Alex Ben Block today, and look forward to Brendan Hodgson, Senior VP, Hill and Knowlton for Digital Corporate and Public Affairs in North America. Brendan will be with us next week out of, I think, D.C. So, hope you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends as well to tune in. It's real simple. You go to theadvertisingshow.com. How simple can we make it? Can we make it any simpler? And anyway, The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production.